Welcome to Conversations with Creative Waco, the show that brings you the stories and voices shaping Central Texas's creative landscape. I'm your host, Fiona Bond. And as we gather here just after Thanksgiving, I want to begin with a note of gratitude. This year, arts organizations across the country have faced real headwinds. Here in Waco, our creative community continues to flourish, thanks to the resilience, passion, and generosity of local artists, leaders, audiences, and supporters, including many of you listening. I also want to say how much we appreciate KWBU and all they do to promote local programming like this. If you listen regularly, you will know that this year we are all asking that we turn that gratitude into tangible support. When you support the things you love in our community, you are part of ensuring they continue to thrive. Today's episode features two remarkable creatives who are cultivating connection, one by bringing digital storytellers together and one by championing artistic excellence in contemporary dance. In the first half, I'll be joined by Debbie Wright, the force behind No Waco, Cultivate 712, which is now named Cultivate Waco, and she is introducing Creator Fest 2025, a new event designed to help content creators find their creative village. In the second half, we'll pirouette into the world of dance with Hannah Requa, director of the expanding, inspiring 254 Dance Fest. And this year's festival has something else to celebrate. It's fiscally sponsored by Cultural Arts of Waco, whose director Doreen Ravenscroft has just been honored with a Lifetime Achievement Award in Philanthropy from the Association of Fundraising Professionals, a well-deserved recognition for someone who continues to shape Waco's arts landscape in extraordinary ways. So settle in, refill your cup of something warm, and let's explore the creative energy that makes our city so special. My first guest is someone who seems to be everywhere in Waco's creative community, behind a camera, behind a microphone, behind a pop-up gallery wall, and always behind the scenes championing local makers and storytellers. Debbie Wright is a digital storyteller, creative entrepreneur, and community advocate. She's the digital media specialist for Waco and Magazine, host of No Waco podcast and the Nowhere travel blog, and she was the owner of Cultivate 712, now Cultivate Waco, which she has transformed into a mobile arts initiative bringing creative experiences directly into neighborhoods. Now she's channeling her passion for connection into Creator Fest 25, happening December 18th, a night for influencers, filmmakers, podcasters, designers, musicians, and creatives across the digital spectrum to meet, collaborate, and build community. Debbie, welcome to Conversations with Creative Waco.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me, Fiona. It is a pleasure to be here.
It is great to have you. And Debbie, I've known you for a while, and you are clearly a passionate advocate for all things creative. What got you started? What's your origin story?
Ooh, my origin starts a long, long time ago, I say as a 28-year-old, so you know.
It's not that
long. Not that long. But no, I've just always had a love for content creation and graphic design. So my degree is from Texas Tech. I actually went to the Texas Tech University program here at McLennan Community College, and I had my degree actually specializing in communications, digital media, and my minors in public relations. So with that, I was really just looking to tell stories and really just, you know, get the word out about things that people might not know about. Not only me getting the story out, but giving a chance for others to get their voice out there to people that may not have ever known them before. With that, I started working in with my podcast in 2020. So really, my story is born out of COVID. Out of a time whenever the world was shutting down, I was just getting started, graduating in the middle, well, right before COVID in 2019. It was really hard. A lot of people were looking for community. A lot of people were trying to, you know, reclaim some sorts of normalcy. I started my podcast, No Waco, with Rogue. That was newly founded, Rogue Media Network. And my podcast was literally just talking about things going on in Waco.
Which there wasn't a lot of at that time.
Exactly. So my first episode, we filmed in February of 2020, and my tagline was, now you know Waco, go Waco. but then I had to change it in March saying, well, now you know Waco, please don't go. Please don't go Waco. So it was kind of like an interesting transition to kind of see, like, I started as an Instagram girly, a fresh, you know, 20-something coming into Waco, and I wanted to make a name for myself, but I wanted people to surround myself with. I wanted family. I wanted that connection that I did not have at the time. And so I just did the Instagram girly thing. I posted on my then No Waco Instagram account. And I just would reshare flyers of things going on. And then I got the opportunity to do my podcast. Fast forward 200 episodes later, I have now rebranded with my new travel blog, Nowhere, so I can go Central Texas and beyond. And then I've had the opportunity to do so much for our community. I started working with Art Center Waco. I came on as the mobile gallery coordinator, which is kind of fitting for what I'm doing now. So yeah. I did their education programming and with the mobile gallery. So I took it to all the schools around town and taught third and fourth graders all about art, which is, again, something I was just passionate about and was able to kind of, you know, make a way for that to be shown in the community. One of the biggest things we'd always tell people is, like, these are children's first ever time getting this experience. And so we were kind of like experiencing together. And I just kept thinking, like, I wish I would have had this whenever I was their age. Mm-hmm. And honestly, that's what I've kept with me my whole career is just, I wish I would have had that whenever I was 20. I wish I would have known this existed when I was 19. I wish I would have known this existed when I was 16.
I love that.
And so just being able to continue with that. Yeah. From Art Center, I obviously was still working at Rogue. So I went Rogue, as most people do. So I started working with Rogue Media, working with the Art Center. And then in about, I think it was end of 2021, the world was slowly peeking out of COVID times. And I got asked to come in and help with Cultivate 712 at 712 Austin Avenue. Rebecca and Jeremy, they were instrumental in the Waco community and bringing a gallery Absolutely. That had never been seen before.
Yeah.
I came in as a marketing person. I was told, hey, we need you to help us with the rebrand. We need you to help do some social media posts for us. Can you do a little audit? I said, no problem. No problem at all. Fast forward, I then took over as the gallery director and then owner of Cultivate. So you really never know how the pathways interlock and just how things, you know, blossom and grow. But yeah, so from humble origins, podcasting and digital content creation and being an Instagram girly, I then was able to kind of transition and grow my love for art and the community in a way that I had never seen before. And again, just being involved is something that I'm so passionate about. So that's kind of my little origin story, I guess.
Well, I got to know you when you started working at the Art Center and, of course, popping up with the mobile trailer. And your enthusiasm just immediately struck me. Then, of course, you led Cultivate 712, where we were officing. As you know, you've got a very broad portfolio of skills and a really unique perspective as a leader, a practitioner, and an observer of our emerging creative scene. What do you see as the biggest challenges and opportunities for young people of your generation that are our emerging arts leaders?
Yeah, honestly, it's connections. Like, one of the biggest things people say is this is the digital time that we're the most connected we've ever been. But I honestly think it's the opposite. We're the most disconnected we've ever been.
We That's so interesting.
Get yeah. caught in these echo chambers and get caught in these little bubbles that we don't know either how to escape or we just become recluses. Mm-hmm. We don't have that little strand of humanity that really brings us all together because we're so caught up in what's going on all the time. We can't enjoy what, you know, we want to actually focus on. Or again, the community that's right next door to you, your next door neighbor, your community, your church, your friend group, any of that. You just lose sight of it because of this giant bubble of information.
Yes, I hear that a lot. And so that brings us very nicely to Creative Fest, which is a brand new event this upcoming month, December. What inspired you to create a gathering specifically for content creators?
So I love hosting a good party.
That's a great
and I
starting
said,
point.
Dang, I haven't hosted a party recently. What should I do? So obviously with my rebrand of No Waco to Nowhere, I have been creating YouTube videos. I've been doing my YouTube channel now since March, and I have seen some really good growth in it, getting to travel again all over Central Texas and just bringing those stories out and all the cool things people can go do, of course. But I realized, like, I've just been home editing. Like, I've been home. It takes me hours to edit. I'm stuck in my room editing with my tiny microphones on my little phone or on my computer. And I'm like, how do I make this into what I want it to be? How do we bring in that community aspect of it? And I was like, well, you know, there's a bunch of other amazing artists and community members. How can I get to know them. How can I talk with them? And Creator Fest was born. So you can join us now at the PAC Waco, over right in 924 Austin Avenue. We are working with them. It will be December 18th at 6 p.m. You can expect, of course, a light charcuterie. I have some fun mixer games. I'm making like a bingo board for you to meet other people in the community. So it's going to be super fun. And again, just an opportunity to swap business cards, swap stories, and again, just continue that storytelling digitally here in Waco and beyond.
I love that. So how do people sign up for that event?
Yes, this is a totally free event. You can check out our Facebook page. It's still under the Cultivate 712 Facebook, now on Instagram at Cultivate Waco. I have also reshared it on my No Waco page. That's at @nowhere_Texas. You can check us out there. All the information is for you just to come and hang out. There's no registration required, and it is totally free. So just come and hang out and meet some people, and you don't have to have any expectations. Just let it come freely.
Well, Debbie, thank you so much for joining me. I think people can absolutely hear how enthusiastic and animated you are and what a great connector you are. It's going to be a really fun event. I know I'm planning to go, and I hope that people hearing this will be inspired to make sure that they spread the word as well. If you're just joining us, this is Conversations with Creative Waco. I'm your host, Fiona Bond. A sincere thank you to Debbie Wright for reminding us that creativity thrives in community and for championing the storytellers who capture the spirit of Waco. Coming up next, it's time for David and Art.
This is 103.3 Waco Public Radio. In recent episodes of David and Art, host David Smith has been unpacking the long, messy relationship between the arts and American identity. Today, he zeroes in on a moment when defining American art sparked more arguments than agreements.
Last week, we mentioned the role of Theodore Roosevelt in the creation of the Commission on Fine Arts. His activism on behalf of the arts and his belief of their centrality in what constitutes a flourishing life is admirable. But he can't be considered as a friend of all the arts, of every style, as a general term. Modernism, for example, he thought was utter hogwash. He called artists like Picasso the lunatic fringe of the art world. As for American painters like John Singer Sargent, who went to Europe to broaden their understanding, Roosevelt had no patience. He thought American artists should stay in the United States and paint American subjects. Foreign elements had no place in real American art. T.R.'s idea about what counted as American art and what kind of art Americans should celebrate was starting to be seriously challenged from almost all quarters. The art world was getting a lot smaller and more interconnected. Shortly after Roosevelt died, the Detroit Institute for the Arts became the first public museum in the United States to acquire a Van Gogh and a Matisse. 10 years later, the Detroit Museum director William Valentiner sought to commission the already famous Mexican painter Diego Rivera to create a series of fresco murals in the courtyard of the museum. It was 1932, the third year of the Great Depression, and the idea was to celebrate the industrial history of the city. Edsel Ford, the only child of Henry Ford and the company's current president, was one of the museum's big-shot backers. He agreed to fund the murals. Rivera's star was rising. He created his first grand artwork in the United States the year before in San Francisco. He then had a large retrospective exhibition at the Museum of Modern Art in New York that made headlines, so he was in the news. The Ford Motor Company hoped the murals would be good publicity because it wanted to improve its image. Earlier that year, police and Ford security guards shot and killed several people taking part in a march of unemployed auto workers. For his part, Diego Rivera made no secret of his political convictions and was an ardent Marxist who supported the working classes at every turn. Consequently, his art reflected the interests of workers over those of owners and bosses. There may be some friction here. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to Conversations with Creative Waco. I'm your host, Fiona Bond. Now we turn from digital creation to a fully embodied art form. My next guest, Hannah Ernest Requer, is a professional dancer, teacher, and choreographer who has helped transform 254 Dance Fest into one of Central Texas's most exciting annual arts gatherings. Running January 9th to 11th at the Ball Performing Arts Center on the MCC campus, the festival brings together dancers from across Texas and some from even further afield for workshops, masterclasses, choreography exchanges, and performances. Hannah has danced with Bruce Wood Dance, Corpus Christi Ballet, Ad Deum Dance Company, and currently performs with the Ventana Ballet in Austin. She has taught at TCU, Baylor, Texas A&M Corpus Christi, and numerous Waco studios. And she brings movement into community settings through healing harmonies with Waco Symphony and the Mama Project. Hannah, welcome to Conversations with Creative Waco.
Hi, Fiona. Thank you so much for having me.
Hannah, lots of girls and young women are really passionate about dance, but you made the transition from that passion into being a professional dancer. What inspired you to pursue dance as a profession? And what was the moment that you realized that this was going to be your life?
I think stubbornness had a really large aspect to it. I didn't start training formally until I was 14. And so I think with that age, it's a lot older than most girls start dance. And with that age came a lot of maturity, but also a lot of stubbornness of, oh, I want to make this happen. I saw, it's so cliche, but I saw the Nutcracker and watched the snow pas de deux with the Snow Queen. And the music combined with the movement was just stunning, and I started crying during intermission, and my mom said, oh, are you sick? Are you okay? And I said, Mom, I think I'm supposed to dance.
Wow.
And instead of saying, you're 14, that's silly, she and my dad supported that dream, and I went to a conservatory school and somehow found my way into TCU's dance program, and I just loved it. It was a passion from the beginning, and I think that is really what continued it through. It stayed a passion for me.
Wonderful. Well, we are so glad you're in our community and being such an innovator, bringing dance to people who might be just like that young Hannah all those years ago. Well, actually not so many years ago, I should say.
More than you'd think.
I believe that 254 Dance Fest began with Brooke Schlechte, of course, and under the fiscal umbrella of Cultural Arts of Waco. How has it evolved since you took the lead, and where do you see it going in the coming years?
It has really evolved a lot. We took it out from the Cultural Arts of Waco, or Waco Cultural Arts Fest weekend, and gave it its own weekend so we could really highlight
kind of
the dance.
Oxygen of being able to make dance the star.
The star of the weekend, yeah. Exactly. And we have changed the format to where people submit and they are chosen either for an informal performance that is still all the bells and whistles of the gala performance, but the gala companies that we accept or ask to come are given a very, very small honorarium, but just something to show the appreciation of their time and their travel to Waco and their sharing of their beautiful art. And these are bigger companies like Bruce Wood, like Adam, like Houston Contemporary Dance Company, who is coming for the first time this year, and companies from outside of Texas, that we can give them a little something so they can come to our community and share what they do with us.
That's amazing. And I know, you know, having seen performances the last couple of years that you've been running the festival, it's very diverse.
Mm-hmm.
There's an emphasis on contemporary dance, but not exclusively.
Correct.
And these are really well-known companies. You are bringing a stellar lineup
to Waco. Thank you.
It really emphasizes collaboration and shared learning between dancers. Why is that so important for contemporary dancers?
Well, like Debbie was saying on the earlier segment, community is vital for arts to thrive and to succeed and for the dance world to keep evolving and becoming a more vibrant and vital part of our communities. I think you have to collaborate and I think you have to share the knowledge. To be a diverse dancer, you need a lot of different training styles. And so we give masterclasses in Limone and Horton and Graham and floor work and partnering, which is just weight sharing. And so we're giving people a lot of that foundational work that then they can take into their own creative processes and say, oh, that was a concept that Limone used. Let's try it with this. And it just really, it's the history with the community, with the shared knowledge that just keeps the art form moving forward.
I love, as you're talking to me, the listeners won't necessarily get to observe this, but you are moving your body and, you know, saying like this, and I see you kind of like striking a little pose there.
Habit.
Anna is so animated as she speaks, as is Debbie too. And you can see as she speaks that dance is very much her language. The festival really gives an opportunity for people who may not be so familiar with dance in our community to dip a toe in the water as well, right?
Yes.
So what can both participants and audience expect from this year's festival? And I say this year, but it's actually happening January of 2026.
Correct.
So technically next year.
Technically next year, but we do call it this year because that's where all of our energy is going. And we are bringing in, gosh, we had 63 unique submissions this year, which was a huge jump. It was 50% more than we had even last year.
And amazing.
We just...
What a testament to just the popularity and the relevance of
the festival. It's grown so much, and I'm so humbled by that, and have a lot of friends in Austin who are just spreading the word to get people to come. So I think even companies that aren't performing are coming for the master classes and just seeing what Waco has to offer. And I love being able to say, come visit me. I'm always in Austin. Come visit us. And participants can expect to be able to take, I think, a total of 4 masterclasses because they're running congruently, and then see 2 different performances on Saturday. One is at 2 and one is at 7. That's the gala at 7. And then on Sunday is our Next Gen performance that has also some other companies who are more college or pre-professional, and a lot of the local Waco studios and students will perform at that Sunday performance.
So presumably Next Gen is next generation, like
correct,
the next generation of dancers?
Yes.
Oh, I love that, yes.
We wanted to give them a taste of something they don't see in Waco a lot. They're beautiful studios. They have their high school drill teams and dance teams, and that is a wonderful subset of the dance community. Mm-hmm. And it's not everything that it is. So I really have worked hard to foster these relationships with the studios to say, come bring your students to perform, to take master classes. They get to do an audition class with Randall Flynn of Adeum and just see what contemporary dance could offer. And to me, it offers connection and storytelling in a way that no other form does, because it's not prescriptive. Each person individually will get something different out of watching the same piece.
I love that.
Yeah.
Well, I know that you've also been involved in a number of other things in our community. You have performed for the last few years as part of the Dancing with the Stars initiative.
Yes.
And you're also helping the Waco Symphony develop their new program. Tell us a little bit about that, because that's dance in the context of healing and hospitals.
Yes, which I feel like music and movement are some of the most healing things you can experience. And when you see them and hear them matched together, it just does something for you physically that other things I don't think can. So I get to go into hospital lobbies and perform with a string quartet. And I know they do group sessions and other outreach with Waco Family Med that I haven't been able to be part of yet, but just the act of dancing in a lobby where people are coming in for appointments, maybe getting good news, maybe getting bad news, is just a real ministry to be able to offer something beautiful in a really mundane and maybe hard space for people.
I know there's also so much great research about how dance being fully embodied is a very very empowering art form, especially for people who are vulnerable or ill or who've had, you know, been through trauma, that kind of thing. It becomes a very powerful way to generate hope and to process.
Yes.
How can people get involved in the dance festival?
They can follow us on Instagram at 254_dance_fest. And they can also go to the Waco Cultural Arts website, and we have a whole website there. All the concerts are free. So if you just come to the BPAC at MCC campus, you will get a seat in the theater and you'll be able to watch this. So bring everybody you know. It's free. It's amazing, amazing dance.
What a great experience. Hannah, thank you so much for organizing that and for talking to us about it today.
Thank you.
That brings us to the end of today's episode. A huge thank you to Debbie Wright for championing Waco storytellers and to Hannah Requa for expanding the reach and impact of contemporary dance in Central Texas. And as we wrap up this Thanksgiving weekend, there are plenty of festive arts experiences that we will post in the information that accompanies this episode. Remember that Small Business Saturday, Debbie is creating a creative market on the 29th of November from 1 till 5 p.m. at 421 South 11th Street. The Creative Content Mixer is on December 16th at the Performing Arts Community Center, and 254 Dance Fest is January 9th to 11th at the Ball Performing Arts Center on MCC campus. Creative Waco, Waco Indie Film Fest, and Waco Civic Theater are presenting a festive holiday mixer for creatives on December 9th at 6:30 p.m. at the Waco Civic Theater, where we will have two exciting announcements to make. And remember, tickets, memberships, and original artwork make amazing holiday gifts for your loved ones or even for yourself. For a full weekly rundown of arts, culture, and live music, make sure you're subscribed to Waco Bars and Waco Insider. I'm Fiona Bond, and this has been Conversations with Creative Waco. Until next time, thank you for listening, stay creative, and enjoy the season of light and celebration here in Central Texas.